Welcome to another episode of A Minute to Midnight. It's going to be a little bit different today. We've got myself, we've got Matt, who has recently joined our Minutes of Midnight team. He's going to be joining us today as well, and a couple of things to play, recordings that we've done before, a little bit of a recording from Joni Stahl, and also a very, very interesting recording, never been aired before, of a piece of an interview I did with Carolyn Hamlett. I think you'll find rather fascinating. So stay with us, and then at the end of the show, Chris will be joining us as well. So it's been a very interesting week. A lot's happened, and it's crazy times, really. But anyway, welcome, Matt.
Hi, Tony. Great to be here.
Been awesome. You've been beginning to write for us in our blog as well, which is excellent. And sometimes we'll have you coming on to actually talk too. So that's a really great addition to our team, is to have you on board.
That's great. Thanks, Tony. Yeah, it's good to be able to do this as well too.
Excellent. One of the most interesting things that's happened in the last week is obviously the death of Supreme Court Justice Scalia, who supposedly died of a heart attack, but no autopsy was done and no medical personnel were there to pronounce him dead. Now, supposedly he was found with a pillow over his head. Doesn't that sound a little suspicious to you, Matt?
It does sound a bit suspicious. And the other thing too was that the body was cremated very quickly, I believe, and there wasn't actually time to do a full autopsy. So,
Yeah, yes, it is really rather suspicious, all right. I mean, Scalia stood in the way of the Obama administration in a number of areas, including the CO2 climate change initiative, US Second Amendment rights. He was not in favour of abortion or same-sex marriage or gun control laws. There's a raft of different things that he was obviously standing against the agenda that the current administration was pushing.
Yeah, there's concern that now that he's gone, that there'll be the opportunity for the left wing, so to speak, to come in and bring in someone, you know, that they support, who will be able to bring in kind of the left ideals, so to speak, which may be bad news for the US Constitution, because there's quite a few people that really want to get rid of that, and that's going to be bad news for the US.
Yeah, and I believe Obama's not even going to the funeral. Yeah. But, I mean, Scott, he was declared dead via a phone conversation without an actual medical examination taking place, which is a direct violation of Texas laws. I mean, a pillow over the face? Surely that's enough to warrant an autopsy.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
You would, yeah. And it's interesting, Matt Drudge actually posted a headline, Scalia found dead with pillow overhead.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about this which sort of say that maybe not all as well in this situation. And it's a real shame that a man of this standing has been removed at this stage. Not good for America.
No, not at all. It was interesting, I said Rick Wiles on True News the other day basically saying, to kind of paraphrase him, that really the likelihood is that this was a calling card, you know, pillow over the head, like, don't mess with us. Mm. Basically, we will, you know, to put fear, send fear into anyone that opposes a regime, which isn't that Hitlerish or Stalinesque?
It is indeed, it very much that, and also another interesting thing that's been coming out is the left democratic kind of press have been really demonising anyone that would suggest that anyone oppose a Obama sanctioned new judge as well too, which is very disturbing as well.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I mean, it'll be I would say a move to get the right man in there to do the job that they want done.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, going through all the details of this, well, this natural causes death / homicide, we won't probably go too much into more detail because there's way more information out there than we've got and it's coming out all the time, and people, you know, can find it in other sources. But just to let you know that we are watching it really closely and with interest, and to me, it just spells out that something is really rotten in this whole situation, the whole administration, which makes me question Obama. Yeah, I mean, we believe he's evil, that he's been put there for a reason, and that he's doing the job.
Indeed, that's right, yep.
So I'm just going to play a little clip here that was part of an interview I did with Joni Stahl. It's only about 30 seconds long, but we'll add that in here, and then you'll see what she had to say at one point in the vision.
The other thing the Lord showed me, before Obama leaves office, he told me this very clearly, and I heard it loud and clear. He said, before Obama leaves office, he is going to be caught red-handed. And the Lord gave me a vision of him. You know when somebody's like in the dark sneaking, like maybe a robber,
yeah,
and he's sneaking in the dark, and then you get a flashlight and you put it on high beams and you have this look of terror, you're caught.
Yeah.
That's how the Lord showed me how he looked.
Tony, it's really interesting hearing that little clip from Joni. One of the first things that occurred to me when I heard that Justice Scalia had died, and perhaps under unusual circumstances, was this very thing that Joni had talked about with Obama maybe being caught red-handed in something.
And, you know, Matt, it's really interesting because that was my first thought as well. And then I actually emailed Joni yesterday and had a bit of a chat with her about it, and she brought it up as well. So this could actually be the thing that comes out before he leaves office, something along these lines.
We're just going to have to watch that space.
Yes, we will. But anyway, the thing is, I'm really beginning to, you know, just have a very uneasy feeling about this whole situation. This is not a small event, and it's going to change a lot.
Indeed it is.
So then another interesting thing here now then is, you know, questioning whether Obama is an antichrist or the antichrist or whatever. I just want to play you now a piece of an interview. I have never aired this before, with Carolyn Hamlett.
Okay, about a year ago, maybe it was a little longer than a year ago, I had the most frightening dream I've ever had in my entire life. That's a lot of dreams, and that's a lot of fright. It takes a lot to scare me. You know, I'm a person that grew up around demonic stuff. I just don't scare easily. Well, after I had this dream that I had to get up out of, I woke up in the middle of the night. I could not go back to sleep. I had to cleanse myself. I had to pray. I was like shaking. So, and I was scared. I was trying to shake it off, the fear. So the dream was, you wouldn't think that this would be so scary. I can tell you about it, but it's not going to, I'm not going to be able to tell you how scary it was. It was just a spiritual thing, I guess. But I was looking at a pit in the ground, like there had been, like, you know, you've seen like earth caves in and like a sinkhole. Well, I was looking, and then here was this being crawling out of this pit. It was Obama crawling out of the pit. And the evilness that surrounded him and him, I mean, just that whole thing just was so frightening. Like I said, I can tell you about it, but it doesn't even tell you how frightening it was. I'm just telling you it was frightening enough where it took me hours to calm down. I mean, I've dealt with some pretty heavy-duty demonic beings that, I mean, some of the worst, and had to battle those things where you can have just a residue for a while of even having to be around one of those things. And I can get rid of that pretty fast, but this was hours afterwards just trying to shake that off and asking God's help and to cleanse me. But before that, you know, I knew Obama's being used by people, but being used by the organization, and people would go, oh, he's evil. Well, well, most of the people that get in there that are in control are evil. Okay, so how evil is he? I don't know, but that dream pretty well shocked me. I haven't had another one like that, but it's after that I started thinking maybe he's more than what I thought he was, because I know he likes doing what he's doing. Some of the presidents are more like puppets, but I'm pretty sure this Obama really gets off on what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Actually, that I get a real sense of, I can feel it when you've spoken that dream. I'm really glad I've recorded that. I'm starting to think as well that Obama. I've always thought that Obama was like a type of the pharaoh in Egypt, and he's leading the people into slavery in a sense. But I'm starting to wonder myself now. Is he just in the early stages still of something that's going to go way further and way deeper, and we, for the most part, have not as yet really seen the depths of evil that's being played out through that man and who he really is?
You know what else I see?
Oh, you go for it.
Well, something else I see is that in this point in the game, the organization can pretty much get people to believe anything they want. I mean, here we have this president that I call him a resident because then I think he was selected.
Yes.
But he, supposedly his name was Barry.
Yeah.
And that's not even his real name. Well, think back on 9/11, September 11th, 2001. It was Osama bin Laden. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, who would think that we would have a president so soon after that that has a name that's close to that? And yet everybody accepts it, you know, it's like, and then, you know, you look at what direction he's going in the world. So at this point, you know, the organization is, I think they're actually having fun. They can just make people believe whatever they want them to believe and they'll follow it. And so if they want to make people think that somehow Obama is a wonderful man and he's helped the United States and the whole world and he's what the whole world needs, then I think that this organization knows they can definitely do that. They went from the 70s and the 80s getting people to the blacks and whites to love each other, you know, no race against each other, and Hands Across America and Pepsi Generation, and then We Are the World, all this stuff. And then so they turn around and play the same people against each other. And how fast do people change? You know, whatever happened to that little bit of do a random act of kindness? We're so far from that now. People are just mind controlled, obviously.
Yeah, it is. It is obvious. They're under a spell. The world is like under a spell, and America almost more than anyone. You know.
Yep. You say under a spell. It's literally.
Yeah.
It's not just mind control. It literally is a spiritual thing.
It is, yeah.
And we know what the antidote to that is. Jesus Christ.
It's amazing. Carolyn talks about the fact that we know her background. She's been deeply involved in the Illuminati, and she's been deeply involved in many demonic type things. And if this dream scared her, then it must have. I mean, I can't imagine how much, you know, fear that imparted to her.
I think the other thing that's interesting in relation to what I mentioned before, Carolyn said, you know, at this particular point, she thinks the organization, the Illuminati, thinks they can get away with anything, which is like I've been watching all last year with these, what I call false flag murders, and some of them are so obviously staged, really badly staged pictures and things, where it's almost like they're laughing and going, we can get away with it. And then in this case, there's a judge die, and they don't even have an autopsy, and they put out a thing saying he had a pillow over his head, and they're going to get away with it. It's almost like they are laughing in our faces because people are so controlled, mind controlled, and asleep that they think they can get away with anything.
It's very much a state of the world now that, you know, people with political correctness as well too, you know, you say something to people and they'll just go, no, that's not right, or you shouldn't be thinking that or saying that. And it just does show how much that we are controlled these days, you know, by the Illuminati, by these power groups.
Yeah. I also, I don't know if people are aware of a dream or that a guy called C. Alan Martin had in 1971. I'm not going to read the whole dream. It's called The House Vision of the Night, The Last 12 Presidents of the U.S. But I'll just read a little bit of it, and then people can go and search it out, okay? So here we go. In 1971, I received a vision of the night in which I was shown a row of houses. It was not until 23 years later that the spirit gave me a dream which held the key to the meaning of these houses. They represent presidential administrations starting with Truman in 1953 and extending into the future for two more presidents beyond Clinton. So he wrote that in 1995. The original dream was 71. Okay, and then I'll just read a tiny little bit more. So the year was 1971, the year I was saved. Immediately the scene changed, and I was in the middle of a city in grey ruins. I saw a man emerge from what I perceived to be a temple fortress. He was dressed in a diplomatic suit, carrying a briefcase. A voice said, "He claims to be God, but he is of devil." Then the dream ended. Now, if we go, we read more of the dream, you find out that that was house number 12 that he saw in the original vision. And that would take us to the current president, Barack Obama. So in his vision of 1971, he would be talking about Barack Obama. So do what you want with that, read it, go back and have a look, but I just find it fascinating. Is it another thing pointing to just showing how evil this is?
It's when you look at Carolyn's dream, and I need to say so many people these days who are coming out and saying Obama is the Antichrist or something like the Antichrist. And I mean, personally, I don't know if he is. There are perhaps things that are starting to lead up to me thinking more and more that he's fitting into this plan somewhere. But if we were to look at, there's so many things that could point to perhaps Obama being the Antichrist. I've had a look at a few things that may perhaps lead to him becoming the Antichrist. And I'd just like to say now that you need to do your own research around this. You need to do your own kind of study as well, because a lot of what I'm going to talk about would be, I call, speculative. Okay, so what would it take for Obama to become the Antichrist? There are between 10 and 50 attributes that the Bible has that would perhaps point towards what the Antichrist will be and those attributes that he'll have. So I've just listed a few things, and this will be available on an article also to be posted on the Minute to Midnight website at some stage too.
Yeah, just quickly interject there. At the moment, we've had a splash scene, picture sort of splash page, that's the word I'm looking for a website, aminutetomidnight.com. We're currently migrating to a new web server and a proper website. We have the proper website up. Currently, you can just find it at aminutetomidnight.com. .wordpress.com. We will be moving that as soon as we have the issue with the domain sorted. So you can go there and you'll be able to find this article to associate with this video interview as soon as we have this posted as well. Carry on there, Matt.
Okay, so here are some of the attributes that I would think that would point to the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians said he will be a man of lawlessness. And Mr. Obama, well, he likes to write his own laws at any given time. I think he has written the most number of executive presidential laws for any president of the time. He will claim to be God and will be worshipped. That ties in with the prophecy vision that Tony described just before. He will use peace to destroy many. That's Daniel 8:25. He will be, as Chuck Misler puts it, a big mouth. And that's in Daniel 7:25. He will, and also Revelation 13:5. He will speak about himself. Now, I think if you look at Mr. Obama, he likes to talk himself about himself a lot. He will also show great signs, wonders, and miracles. That's in Daniel 8:24 and Thessalonians 2:9, Revelation 13:2-3. We haven't seen that from Mr. Obama yet, and it's probably the opposite, actually, but that will certainly be something that we may see. The Antichrist is also referred to as the beast, and in Greek, this is Therion. It is possible that he may not be altogether human, and you need to really do your research around this one, please. He will also force the world into submission economically, and that's in Revelation 13:16 to 17. Okay, so at this point, we really need to be reaching for our tinfoil hats on this one. So what are some of the possibilities that could see someone like Obama fulfill the role of Antichrist or the beast, and how can this be linked to Scripture? Once again, please do your own research around this and come to your own conclusions, because a lot of what I'm telling you here is very speculative. Okay, so I need to paint you a bit of a picture to describe some of the circumstances that could lead to Obama becoming the Antichrist. So we know from Carolyn's dream that a beast is going to come out of the earth. And the Bible talks about this. In Revelation 13:11, it says, "And behold, another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon." There are also some scriptures that indicate that Satan has his own seed line, in the same way that there is the seed of the woman that's mentioned in Genesis 3. And this is the bloodline that leads to Jesus, that is the seed of the woman. Okay, so when we talk about the word seed, as mentioned in Genesis 3, what exactly does that word mean? Okay, put it simply, I believe that this has some genetic implications. In other words, it's possible that Satan also has his own seed bloodline. It would seem that Satan has attempted to pollute the bloodline from Adam to Mary, that's Jesus' mother, at every opportunity, and has almost succeeded in destroying God's sort of way for mankind to have redemption. We come to the flood situation where God destroyed all living creatures in a flood except for Noah and his family and a select group of animals. Okay, Genesis 6:9 refers to Noah as being perfect in his generations, and my belief is that Noah was genetically uncorrupted. We know he was human, and we know he wasn't perfect, but I think that God found that Noah was genetically uncorrupted. In Genesis 6:11 to 12, this uses the word corrupt three times to describe how God viewed what was happening on earth. And I think he may have been giving us a very large triple hint at this point. Something interesting to note here is that God did not offer at any stage time for redemption for the rest of mankind. There was no warning to repent. God simply told Noah to build an ark. So what could be so corrupt that God just needed to destroy it all? Genesis 6:4 may give us a clue as to what could have happened. This verse describes the sons of God coming to the daughters of men and having offspring, or mighty men, men of renown. The passage also describes there being giants, or Nephilim as well, too. That's Genesis 6:4. I'll be very clear here that I do not subscribe to the Sethite theory, as I believe the sons of God were fallen angels, and that's discussion for another time. Okay, so back to the seed. It would appear that Satan was doing several things here. He was attempting to corrupt the seed of the woman, the Adamic bloodline, through to Mary, mother of Jesus, and to corrupt all of God's creation and to make it in his own image. It would appear that Satan had his own agenda to create his own bloodline and version of creation. Satan, again, after the flood, it would seem, because it says in Genesis 6 that he was there also after, that he wanted to pollute the promised land of Israel with his offspring in an attempt to thwart God's plan. How do we know this? Well, there's some biblical clues for this. Nimrod, son of Cush, became a mighty one, or as it is in the Hebrew, Gibor. The use of the word mighty in Genesis 6:4 is exactly the same. So it also describes Nimrod as a mighty hunter before the Lord, but another translation is against the Lord, and that's Genesis 10:9. Had Nimrod in some way become Nephilim? His offspring and lineage, the Canaanites, clearly described in the Bible, certainly gave the children of Israel a great deal of trouble. He was also credited with founding Babel and the Babylonian system. In a way, he was regarded as a first type of Antichrist figure.
Can I just briefly interrupt you? I find it interesting, interviewed Troy Anderson on the Babylon Code not very long ago, and which is a great book, by the way, and he said that the Rothschild family claims to descend from Nimrod. So I just find that actually kind of interesting, as listening to you talking about the situation of Nimrod with the Tower of Babel and Babylon. Sorry, anyway, that was just adding a few thoughts in there, but carry on there, Matt.
Yeah, that I listened to that interview, and that also struck me as well too, that these folk would actually put their lineage right back to Nimrod. And, you know, these people identify very much with a group of people that are, I would call, Antichrist.
Yes.
Okay, so another odd thing occurs when God commands Moses to send spies into what is called the land of Canaan. This is after the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And in Numbers 13, 30 to 33, the spies reported men of gigantic stature and strength who were also cannibals. God commanded Joshua to wipe out these tribes to the last. Okay, so a lot of people really struggle with this. How could it be that there was no redemption for these people? My thinking is that there was some genetic abomination that God wanted removed so there would be no chance of contamination. Of interest is that some of these people escaped extermination and gave Israel grief for many years later. It is thought that their descendants may well be doing the same thing today. Just as an aside, and taking a little rabbit hole deviation, the Canaanites were cannibals and worshipped Baal. Canaan-Baal.
Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's just an interesting play on words. Is there a connection between the Canaan-Baal and the Canaanites and the cannibals? Okay. So biblically speaking, giants were not uncommon. Goliath mentioned in Samuel 17, so 1 Samuel 17, 4-7, Goliath was over 9 foot tall, and he had brothers. Og of Bashan, mentioned in Deuteronomy 3, 1-11, he was possibly around 13 feet tall.
Yeah, because it talks about him having a beard, didn't it? It was an iron beard, 13 feet.
Yeah, that's right, and an iron frame, which would be a pretty solid kind of frame.
Yeah,
and
I have actually even heard others say the measurement could even mean that he was 19 feet.
Okay.
So, but somewhere between 13 and 19 feet. It's pretty big.
Yeah. That's a big man. That's a very big man. I mean, these were big guys. How many 9 to 13 foot men do you see around today? So I just add in here that the world's tallest man currently stands at 8 foot 3 inches. He's a Turkish man, and he has a condition called pituitary gigantism, and this is what's actually caused his great height. So when we look back, there were very big people, very tall people mentioned in the Bible. Okay, so where are all these giants? There have been many reports of giant skeletons being unearthed all over the world, but there's no evidence of these remains in any public museums. Where have they gone, and why have they been taken from the public domain? Is there something genetically that might be obtained from them? Has this been done deliberately to hide the biblical truth? Okay, so what does this all have to do with Obama? The seed, the Antichrist, satanic bloodlines, Nephilim, and the end of the age, or last days? Okay, folks, we're going to now have to securely fasten our tinfoil hats. So what's it going to take for Obama to be the Antichrist, and not just an Antichrist, which I'm talking about a small a, of which there'll be many? And this is mentioned in 1 John 2:18. So when I talk about the Antichrist, I'm talking about the Antichrist with a big A, the Antichrist. As discussed, he's certainly got some of the qualifications. He's arrogant. He has little or no regard for the law and makes up his own as he goes along. He is a world leader, and he seems to be very much a stranger to the truth at times. And he's got a long way to go to fulfill the role of the Antichrist at this stage, though. So how is it possible for him to become the Antichrist? Okay,
buckle assuming up to it, folks. Assuming he does, of course. Yeah, assuming which he may does. Not, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll just add in again, this is just purely speculative, all
yeah,
right?
It's great, though. It's very interesting. I'm really getting thoroughly enjoyed listening to what you're saying there. Lots of food for thought.
Indeed, there is, yeah. This is a possible way that it could be him, but once again, not saying that it will
be. No, because it could end up being somebody else with the same thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But Obama's right. Obviously, to us, is at the moment the one we're watching the closest.
He's certainly one that's got some possible leanings in that direction. Yeah. Okay, so in Daniel 2:43, there's a fascinating and mysterious scripture. It says, "As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, and they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay." What's that about? Okay. The seed of men, that seems to be reasonable and straightforward in terms of that's genetic, you know, the genetic seed of men. Okay, so they, what does that mean? They will mingle. If they are not the seed of men, who are they? What are they? What is their seed line? I'm not going to reinvent the wheel, other to say that Doug Hamp has an excellent breakdown of this and an explanation of they, and it is that they are fallen angels, and this is also my belief. And there's a URL that we provided for you to research this for yourself. Okay, so if you've got fallen angelic beings mixing themselves with men to produce hybrids, what will you get? Angelic beings appear to have much greater abilities than we mere mortals in our fallen state. The Bible speaks clearly and often about angelic abilities. The fallen angels of Genesis 6 produced giants and mighty men, and if you read non-canonical, such as the Book of Enoch, they give very detailed accounts of the fallen angels and their offspring. It appears that Satan has been doing some pretty serious meddling in the affairs of men for quite some time, and some of that meddling has been of a genetic nature. We know from Revelation that he is also going to install his own man, the beast or the Antichrist, and have a false satanic trinity, i.e. the Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. In recent years, there's been a massive upsurge in the science around genetics, artificial intelligence, machine-human interface, and the quest for immortality. There's also been a drive to consider improving the fallen human condition, freeing ourselves from disease, making ourselves stronger, faster, more intelligent, more attractive, and so on. In a nutshell, it's called transhumanism. Just want to add that some of these scriptures that we're talking about would have made absolutely no sense even 100 years ago. People just wouldn't have been able to understand a lot of what we're talking about here today. So, cloning has been a huge topic of discussion for some decades now. So let's just launch into a few speculative possibilities. What if Obama is Satan's man? What are we going to need to do to get him to be the Antichrist? And he's going to need a satanic makeover to get there. Okay, so have you ever heard of CRISPR-Cas9? All right, there's a link to this in the article, so you can have a look at it for yourself. Basically, this is a gene editing tool that you can purchase now for a few hundred dollars over the internet, so you may be able to alter your own DNA in the comfort of your own home. Okay, just say, thinking very fancifully here, that post-presidency, Obama becomes the head of the UN. Someone decides to assassinate him, not saying that'll happen, but this is just speculative. But he might get a mortal gunshot wound to the head. The fallen cherub may decide to miraculously heal Obama. Maybe he has a clone waiting, or maybe he'll just apply some of the CRISPR-Cas9 technology. Maybe he'll transfer Obama's consciousness into a machine to await transfer to a new body. The ancient Egyptians used to mummify their pharaohs in order to preserve them. Okay, so what was that for? And it's speculated that they may have actually been doing that to at some later stage change them or regenerate the preserved tissue. Interesting that Obama, as Tony mentioned before, has been sort of likened to the images of the Egyptian pharaohs.
Akhenaten for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it looks like him. Splitting image almost.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And there is even a brief video clip on YouTube with Obama going into an Egyptian tomb, I think it was, or certainly a building, where he points out to himself that,
that was like the Akhenaten statue.
So it's possible that a new spirit being could possess and inhabit the fallen body of Obama. And I'm just wondering, is this what Carolyn saw coming up out of the pit earth? Okay, so whatever the scenario, I hope you're beginning to see that Satan and his minions are finite and limited. They may be vastly superior in terms of their knowledge and technological know-how, but they need physical resources to conduct their activity and play out the nefarious plan. Another thing to consider is that anyone who takes the mark of the beast will no longer be able to be redeemed. So is it possible that this is also a genetic alteration that may make people Nephilim? So, Tony, I'll just hand it over to you now to any comments that you have.
Yeah, that's great. That's a lot of food for thought. And to be honest, I've thought on those lines myself. You know, a lot of people are going, the biometric RFID, you know, don't take it because that's a mark of the beast. But I'm thinking that's even possible that may just be a precursor mark of the beast. You know, people could even get the chip and go, oh, it hasn't done anything to me. See, it's fine, you know. But then at some later stage, it could be that there is a whole different genetically modifying chip that people accept to give, you know, believing they can get eternal life or something. And it may be more than just a radio frequency identification. You know, obviously it will have that as part of it, but perhaps it does. Perhaps it changes their DNA, and that's why they can't get redeemed if they take it, and we're warned not to. Because if they do become, you know, take it and become something other than fully human, then we're back to the whole pre-flood scenario, aren't we, with the genetic modification, which takes us full circle as to why God would need to destroy the race yet again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Interesting that we now have technology which can do these things.
Yep.
And you can buy it on the internet.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
yeah, absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks, Matt. That was awesome. And obviously we'll be having you in here in the studio again a lot more. And also, you know, you'll be posting more articles on our website. So once again, I sort of suggest to people about the website. We're doing a bit of a changeover at the moment. If you go to aminutetomidnight.com, we'll have a redirect to the new website, the WordPress website, but hopefully very, very soon it'll change over anyway.
Be prepared to, if they're going to use the fear, the tactic of to shock and awe, drive people to fear, know that, get to know who Jesus Christ is and give your life to Jesus Christ, because that is the answer, always is the answer to this warfare, because it's coming straight from the Antichrist, who is actually Satan. Satan is Antichrist. The entire organization is Antichrist. They are totally death. And the only way you're going to have life is through God himself, who provides that through his son, Jesus Christ. When you have faith, faith cancels out fear. Build faith. Learn who you are in Jesus Christ and how to walk in that and to be in agreement with God, the powers of heaven, here on earth, and walk in it.
You've heard now from Matt, great little bit from Matt, from Carolyn Hamlet, a little bit from Joni Stahl, a bit from me. So now we've got Chris just joining us for the last little section of the show. So great to have you come in a little late, Chris, but you're here.
You're normally here at the start of the show, but yeah, here at the end, but that's okay. We're here.
Yep, awesome.
Yeah, lots been happening once again on all fronts, really. I just want to really finish off by saying the New World Order is at its work at the moment in the financial realm. There's been a lot of talk recently, even here in New Zealand. There's been an economist come out and saying that negative interest rates should be introduced here in New Zealand and abroad, and getting on with the world bandwagon. The economists worldwide who are spouting that, and they're also lining it up by just be careful in what you're hearing. And when you hear zero interest rates, you're also hearing alongside that, you'll hear conversation regarding cashless society, and the two go hand in hand. And what I believe they're trying to do here is as they introduce zero interest rates, what that means, or that what that means to me, zero interest rates are a means to steal money out of your bank account. As you know, you put your money in the bank to earn interest, compounding. Well, the opposite true is for zero interest rates. They steal from your bank account. You actually are giving the bank the right to hold your money, so they in return take a fee. Zero interest rates. And that's about how it works. But that aligned with them enforcing a cashless society, by enforcing that, what they may introduce is making it illegal to have cash. So that will, one, make you a criminal, and two, cause you to only have a digital bank account. It forces you to have your money in their system so they can charge you the interest.
So this is really heading towards the mark of the beast kind of scenario where they can track and trace everything you do and control everything you do.
That's right. And the way they're gonna advertise it, if you like, is they'll say that having a digital account or a cashless society, and we're almost there anyway. One, it's for tracking, but what they'll say is that they'll say that cash is only used for criminal use. For under the table transactions, that, you know, as this economist here pointed out quite quickly, that it'll be great because a lot of the tax evaders will no longer be able to evade tax.
Yeah, so really that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's about keeping control of people and enforcing them in the system, so there's no way out of it.
Yeah, but they'll use a lie to bring it about.
Exactly. Yeah,
they'll say that, as I've already said, tax evaders, people who in the service industry get paid cash, etc. Illegal dealings in drugs, etc. Like, you know,
it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, we've had cash for so long, long, long time, all through history, and now all of a sudden now it's evil, even though it's been there all along. So they're just using it as an excuse, really, aren't they? But what can we do?
Well, we can, as we've already told you, we can put our money into gold and silver. That is something that they can't take away from us. People will argue the fact that, yes, that's fine, but confiscation took place back in America with, who was it?
Roosevelt, was it?
So they'll use that as an excuse not to own gold. But back then, everyone owned gold because gold was the currency of the day. Who owns gold today? They're not going to confiscate it because no one's got it to confiscate from.
Mm.
So yeah, and I want to reiterate on that front: gold will go to the moon. There's now, I understand, 500 paper ounces to every real ounce of gold in the marketplace, and
So we've heard today a lot about potential for the beast system and the antichrist system, but, I mean, we don't want to generate fear in people, do we? So, I mean, what do you suggest, Chris? How do we deal? What should we be telling people, apart from the gold and silver thing? What else do people need to know here?
Well, first and foremost, and we say it, this is the biggest part of our program, and that is, you know, the first and foremost is to have your life sorted with God. And the only way you can have your life sorted with God is have that relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. And if you haven't already done that, then that's the priority here. You need to do that. Get your life right with him through Jesus. There's no other way. You know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come through the Father except through me. That's Jesus. So that's first and foremost. Secondly, have as little debt as you can. Try if you can, and I know a lot of people can't get into precious metals. If you can't get into gold, get into silver, physical gold and silver. Have some of that available. The other thing that's really important, well, probably before that even, is to have a food supply, have a water supply, something that, you know, even a month or more supply stored away. This ain't fear-mongering. This is happening, and we need to be prepared. And I always say it, why, if you owned a house, would you not insure it? Same applies here. If something happened tomorrow and you didn't have a food supply, what would you rely on? Nothing if you have nothing.
Mm.
So in the same way, you have insurance for your home and contents. What about insurance for your survival? Get insured today. And it's not only just food and water. There's other things too, communication, transportation, all sorts of things we need to be prepared for.
Yep, great. Yeah, that's great, hey, Chris. So I suppose we better look at closing the show out. You got any just final things?
Well, I think we should, if you could, just visit our website. We have a lot of things on our website. You can even learn, for example, how to purify water. Tony put together a great little video clip there on that. So we've got some really good interviews, and we've also got some practical things to do to prepare. So on that note...
Yep. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and it's goodbye from me, Tony.
And it's goodbye from me, Chris.